So just as the slides are getting ready, how many of you here have tried looking for a house, a flat, an apartment, PG accommodation, run helter-skelter all over Mumbai trying to find something which is suitable to live in? Anyone gone through that? I think pretty much all of us here. For those of us who are from Mumbai, well, you're lucky, you've been spared. But recently there was an ad campaign. I'm just waiting for the slides. Anyway, there was an ad campaign, and I'm not sure how many of you have seen it. There were hoardings put up all over Mumbai, and there were hashtags saying, together, look up. There were photos of families growing together in their journey together. And there was one slide which said, we are together in this journey, look up. Make room for more happiness, look up. Any guesses what these advertisements were for? Ah, there you go. Yes. There, start your new life together. We are together in this journey, look up. Make room for more happiness, look up, housing. This was part of a very expensive advertising campaign launched by the online portal housing.com. So I'm not sure how many of you have used this portal, but it's just a website. There's also a mobile app where you can put down your specifications, which part of Bombay, and they'll show you all the houses available to rent, to buy, and it even gives you the option of selling your house. Housing.com will help you look up and find a house. But allow me to speak to you about a home that's being prepared for all of us to reside in. Let's just pray. Dear God, we thank you so much that you are beautiful, you are wonderful. And because of what you have done for us, Lord Jesus, on the cross, we have the freedom to call you our Father, Lord God. I pray that you would prepare each of our hearts, that Holy Spirit, you would speak and you would turn our hearts and draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. There was a king. His name was David. David lived in a beautiful palace, like most kings, and he loved his palace. He was quite comfortable there. He had a very close and intimate relationship with God. And so he decided, let me build God a house. And he felt that he would also like God to live in a beautiful home. So what David did is he decides, okay, I'm going to make this plan to build God a house. Here is what God's response to that plan was. Now, I've got this response from a passage in the first part of the Bible. It's called the Old Testament. Now, in the Old Testament, it's mostly things which took place before Jesus was on earth. So this is a book in the Bible called 1 Chronicles, and I'm reading from chapter 17. This is what God says. But that night, the word of God came to Nathan, who was a messenger of God, to tell David, go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. You are not the one to build me a house to dwell in. Oh, that sounds like bad news. David has this plan, and God says, no, you're not the one to build me that house. But here's what God goes on to say. When your days are over and you go to be with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, one of your own sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for me, and I will establish his throne forever. Now, if we look at God's response, there are three things we can gather from this. There's a project, there's a builder, and there is the material. Now, David wanted to build God the house. And in God's response, God wasn't saying, no, I don't want a house. He was saying that the plan is already on. It's just a few chapters down, what God tells David is that because David had fought many wars, he was quite a macho king. He'd won his set of wars. He'd gone out and won a lot of them. And so because of fighting all these wars, what God told David was that you have shed blood. You have got your hands dirty. And because of that, you are not qualified to build this house. But hey, there is going to be someone else, a man of peace and rest. And if you actually turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 22, which is here, he says, He is the one who will build a house for my name. He will be my son and I will be his father. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Now, what happened is God had chosen a builder for his house. David went on to have a son. And David's son's name was Solomon. Any guesses what Solomon's name meant? Solomon meant peace. Well, God said that, David, you've been slightly not at peace, because when you're at war, you're not at peace. So I will give you a son who will build this house. Solomon actually went on to build a temple. It looked something like this. But about 400 years after this was built, it was destroyed. Now, there's no proof of it in history at all. So what was God really talking about when he said, you know, I will establish his throne forever? This is what God says. He's the one who will build a house for me. I will establish his throne forever. His throne will be established forever. So what was God really referring to? God wasn't referring to something that would be destroyed in 400 years, right? He must have referred to something else. And that's what we're going to just hear about in a bit, is that when God said this, he was referring to Jesus. Jesus was God's son. It just so happens that Jesus was also a great, 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 great grandson of David. He was along the same line. And Jesus was also referred to as the Prince of Peace. We just sang about it. You are the Prince of Peace. So now, that is actually the bigger picture God had in store. Yes, God did fulfill his promise to David through his son Solomon, but there was an even bigger promise. Now, remember how God told David that he was disqualified from building a house because of the blood he had shed? That meant that the man who would build the house had to be a man of peace. So that's what God required. He required a man of peace. And just take a look with me what the Bible says about Jesus. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. So just to quickly recap, we have the project, which is to build God a house. We have the builder, who is Jesus. Now, the builder made peace for us. What Jesus did on the cross was actually making peace for us. I'm going to come back to how he did that. But let's quickly move to the material. Now, most construction sites will flatten the ground out before they start any building. They'll flatten the ground. And then what they do is they'll place a stone in the corner. Now, that was referred to as the cornerstone. And this is what it looked like. So this was the cornerstone. What would happen is you would place that stone, which would set the trend for the remaining stones to be placed in that direction, so that the other stones had to follow the example of this stone. And once the cornerstone was laid, if the remaining material didn't fit in, or if they weren't falling in alignment with that, they would be rejected or thrown away. Now, if you're building a palace for a king, you would use the finest material, right? You're not going to use straw, you're not going to use paper, because that's not going to last long. That's not worthy of a king. You're going to use the best material. So the cornerstone of God's house had to be the best. And he was absolutely perfect. Jesus is the cornerstone of God's house. He was ideal to be chosen as the cornerstone because there was no sin in him. When I say there was no sin in him, I mean when God created each of us, we had something, that little unrest within us, which kept us apart from God. I don't know how many of you feel this, but everything's going well, but there's just something inside you. And you're just like, you're not completely at peace. Have you ever had that feeling? Where you're just not at rest. Things are going well, your salary's come on time, you've got a place to live in, but there's just something, you're not at rest. What happens is because of sin within us, there is an unrest. But that's what makes us imperfect. Now, remember how I said that God wanted to choose the most perfect stones and the most perfect material to build his house. Here's something really scandalous. God chose you and me to be the remaining stones to build his house. And I'm going to explain why Jesus was needed. Now, you have this perfect stone and you have all these imperfect stones. What happens when you have, say, I take this phone and I place it here and I place something else over it? What's going to happen if I try to build anything? You think it'll stand? It's going to fall, right? So when there's an imbalance, nothing's going to stand. It's going to fall. There was an imbalance between us and God because of sin. And Jesus had to come to correct that imbalance. And that's what Jesus did. He corrected the imbalance. He knew that on our own, like David, we would be disqualified because our hands are dirty on account of sin. And Jesus took that sin upon himself. When he died on the cross, he destroyed the penalty that sin had on our life. Because God was holy, we sang that God is holy. Even a tiny stain can't come close to God. Anand's used this example before. And if you have a white shirt and you're going to go for a wedding, and even if you drop, say, a tiny drop of oil, it's not going to be clean. And that's exactly what our sin does to us. And God is absolutely pure and holy. And when we are not pure and holy, there's an imbalance. And Jesus came as the cornerstone to fix that imbalance. When he died on the cross, not only did he take away the penalty, he took away also the power that sin has over us. And we believe that when Jesus comes back, he'll remove the presence of sin. So when the imbalance that once separated us from God is canceled, that makes it closer for us to draw to God. Now, take for example, God is here and I'm standing here because there's something in the way of both of us. There is an obstacle. Sin becomes that obstacle. There is an unrest because I can't reach God. There is an imbalance. Jesus comes, takes that space, he takes away the imbalance, and now there is ready and free access to God. That's why it says this in Colossians, that we were once away from God. We were his enemies, separated from him by our thoughts and actions. But now he's reconciled us to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence. And you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. When we sang that God is holy, Jesus made it possible for us also to be made holy so we could access and talk to a holy God. Jesus is actually building us to become stones just like him, which is why there's this expression we often use, you are being made to become like Christ. Because only if we follow the example of that cornerstone can we fit in and become a part of God's house. And Jesus was not just the cornerstone of the home God resides in, but he's also the cornerstone of the faith we have in God. Remember I spoke about David's project? He had a project to build God a house. Here's God's project. God too wanted to build a house for eternity. But God wanted to build a house where people, that is you and me, could reside with him. And this house has been built by Jesus. I recently read this. This is actually a letter from a young boy to his father. It says, "Thank you, Dad, for being where I need you the most. I am so happy that you were the one that was chosen out of all the people who wanted to adopt me. You're the best dad in the world. Love, Josiah." Two, number one dad. The truth is that you and I are all exactly like this young boy. We were orphaned. We were separated without a home, without a family. And what Jesus did was make it possible for God to choose us. We didn't choose him. He chose us. And he came towards us. He made it possible to remove the imbalance. You saw how he says here, "You are the number one dad." He thanks his dad for being adopted. We often forget that we've been adopted and that Jesus has paid the price. We're not misfits anymore. When we accept Jesus, we belong. We become members of the household of God. And what's our response? Sometimes we forget that we belong to this household. It's easy to take it for granted and looking for other houses. I have this habit of looking at other accomplishments in life and I think, okay, this is going to give me everything I need. That's not going to give me peace. What really gives us peace is the work that Jesus already accomplished on the cross. And we're constantly building idols. We're building homes around the things we love, around our spouses, around our jobs, around our colleagues, around habits. But for every habit, for every idol that separates us from God, there is Jesus who's coming close to us and shaping us, removing all the filth to make us perfect and living stones so we too fit in with Christ in God's house. To really understand what God did, I'm going to quote John Piper. He's one of my favorite preachers. He says, God in eternity looked upon me, foreseeing my faults, my pride, my sin, and said, I want that man in my family. I will pay for him to be in my family with my son's life. He says, that's love. That's mega off the charts love. What's your response to the love of a man who gave up the relationship with his son so he could build a relationship with each and every one of us? So we wouldn't stick out like a sore thumb, but we would belong so that we would have a father. We would have a home. Because when Jesus comes back, we won't be left like orphans. So while we're here on this earth, how do you and I live? Are we going to live like orphans, trying to find our home around things that are going to fail us? Or are we going to go running back to our Father and say, thank you, you are the number one daddy in the whole world. Thank you for giving me this option. May I suggest that we offer our bodies as living stones, part of God's household, as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And that is worship. When you know that a father has given up so much, why wouldn't you want to give up everything to go and be a part of that?